I want to talk to you, and you know the series. What's the series? What are we talking about today? Ever said, let God be true, and every man a liar. What we're saying is, God is the one who's got to be true. And guys, you got to flow with me, because I'm going a little out of order. But if you go to the passage in second, it's my second point, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And I want to start with this, because this is the foundation in which I want us to understand. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Guys, you should have it back there. It's the second point, the third. There it is. Okay. Watch this. For he made him who knew no sin. Who is that talking about, you think? Jesus. Come on, y'all with me, right? For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That we might become. Now, let me teach for a little bit. That already took place. Jesus already went to the cross. He already took our sins. His sin, your sin and my sin, have already been paid for. And at this point, all we have to do is accept that sacrifice for our sin. The payment has already been made. And all we have to do is recognize Jesus paid for it and just walk free of sin. It's as simple as that. Like going to the grocery store, you know what I mean? Or like going, what happened to me one time at McDonald's. You know what? So I'm at the Montebello Mall. It's Christmas time. My wife's like, just drive me to the mall. Just drop me off. You can study. Or I was in the parking lot studying, and all of a sudden, you know what? I thought, I tell you what, I know my wife's gonna be here a while. I'm going to get a Coke and a fries and a cheeseburger at McDonald's, was across the street. So I went across the street. All I ordered was just a regular cheeseburger. Of course, you know, no onions. And small fry and a large Coke. That's all I ordered. Not a big order. That's all I ordered. But the guy in front of me, you know what, paid for my meal. And so when I went up to the window to pay, she said, the guy in front already paid for your meal. You know, it was like I won the lottery ticket. You know what I mean? Yeah, how many know sometimes a simple gift of kindness can mean a lot to you? And it just meant, it was like, yes, you know what I mean? I was so excited. And what I think you're supposed to do is pay for the person behind you. True story. I was so excited. I just drove on up. I was like, I didn't even think about that until like 4 hours later. I thought, hey, maybe I should have paid for it. Anyway. Not my point. The point is, when she said, the meal is free, the guy in front paid for it. It would have been silly for me to pay for my meal. Why? Because it was already paid for. It was already paid for. Okay. The things, the lame brain things that you did in junior high, in high school, in college, and 4 years ago, and 4 months ago, and 4 weeks ago, and 4 days ago. Somebody want to say 4 hours ago? I don't know. I don't know. You know what? Does somebody wake up? Do we have somebody who wakes up grouchy? You know what? Somebody wakes up grouchy, you know what I mean? And you're all happy, you know what I mean? I wake up pretty happy, you know. General, I just wake up happy, you know what I mean? But does somebody wake up grouchy? You know what? Somebody said, good morning, you're like, hey, well, that's not kind, amen? That's not kind. Be kind, amen? I said, be kind. That's not kind. All I'm saying is, no matter what point in time it was, those things that you and I have done wrong, those sins have been forgiven, they've been paid for, and your agonizing through those things that you've done wrong is going to hinder you from becoming and fulfilling what God has called you to do. You have to change your mind according to what God has said. Let God be true and every man a liar. Which many times the every man a liar is you. Because you are lying to yourself. Satan is such a sucker. Because he tells us, here's what he does. Before we come into the family of God, he says, no, you're fine. There's nothing wrong with you. How many know before you come to the family of God, you are jacked up to the max? This thought is, man is inherently good, he says. Can I tell you what? I'm trying to, not trying to be negative, but I'm trying to be honest. That's just not what the Bible says. And it's not even what you experience. I've seen little kids right here on the stage with their parents in the back, and the child is being told, get off the stage. And I've seen the child in their head, you know, the wheels start going, you know what I mean? I've seen the child calculate, stop and calculate, right here on this first step, stop and calculate, you know what, whether they had time enough to grab one of those guitars and where their parent was in the back. And when they calculated, they're going to make a break for it. I've seen them make a break for it. You know what I mean? Right. Well, yeah, but they told that. But they said, don't go on. I know. Why? Because God bless that beautiful little two-year-old or beautiful little three-year-old. But I'm telling you what, they are full of stuff. Right? And so Satan comes and says, no, 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 you're fine, you're fine, you're fine. You're not fine. The Bible says that in your heart, you know what, it's full of wickedness. Why does he say that? Here's why. Because he doesn't want you to recognize you need a Savior. How do you know we all need a Savior? And then, watch this. Then he lies to us more. Then we recognize, oh my goodness, I need Jesus. The Bible says it's the love of God that leads us to repentance. We recognize, oh, look at Jesus, how much he loved us. He dies on the cross for us, enables us to be in heaven with God forever. And so we come into the family of God, and then you know what he tells us? Then he tells us the opposite. Then he tells us, now he tells us how evil we are. How wicked we are. Can I tell you what? Once you come into the family of God, watch this. He who knew no sin, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You know what you are right now if you've accepted Jesus in your heart? You are the righteousness of God. Amen. Jesus, and this is, listen, this is theologically correct. This is biblically correct. But I'm telling you what, some things are so good that when I'm saying them, they're not what the religious people have said. And so it kind of comes off like, whoa! But this is true. If you have been born again, you have been born of the Spirit of God. And when God looks at you, he sees the purity that he sees when he looks at Jesus. I'm just telling you the truth. And it's so critical today that we let God be true and every man a liar. Here's why. Because my first point, guys, go to my first point, because you've got to understand this. My first point, guys. Guilt will keep you from your destiny. Guilt will keep you from your destiny. The Old Testament says, as a man sees himself in his heart, so he is. Dr. Best was critical in my life because having gone to Bible college, having flunked the aptitude English test, that I couldn't even get into, you know, I had to take remedial English at Life Bible College, one of only like eight of the freshman students that had to take that. After having flunked second grade, can I tell you what? Satan have started beating you up before you even had a chance to defend yourself. And so having just had a mentality of academically, I was below average for all my life. You say, yeah, but Pastor, that's true. That was true. Well, keep your opinions to yourself. Keep your opinions to yourself. And Dr. Best played an imperative role in my life because she taught me to change how I thought of myself academically. And she said this. She did it in many ways, but one of the things she said, she said it to all eight of us in the class. The better you read, the better you'll spell. The better you spell, the better you'll write. The better you'll write, the better you'll speak. The better you speak, the better you read. The better you read, the better you'll spell. The better you spell is better. And I recognize this is just this awesome continuum that all I have to do is just work on this, and this will benefit and that will benefit, and the whole thing can just spiral up in the right direction. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. And until, and today, all I'm going to do is I'm just going to pound some scripture into you today. Because what's happened is, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, or chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Look what it says. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Guys, there's a race that is set before you. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, Jesus says, you know what, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what Jesus says. He says, come to me, those who of you who are heavy laden. Let me interpret that for a minute. Come to me, those of you who flunked the second grade. Come to me, those of you who have been told because of what economic background you're from. My parents, we drove almost all my life, you know what? We drove just a junky car. Drove the junkiest cars. You know what? I remember when I was in Palmdale and my parents went out and bought a brand new Ford station wagon. It was white with the wood panels. Remember that? And that was amazing to me because we never, ever, ever, ever had a new car. Some of you can relate to what I'm saying. My mom, you know what, on a certain day, we would have these pot pies. I don't know. You know what? I mean, my kids are blessed with what they get to eat. I was tormented when I was a kid. And I was tormented when I was just, you know, I was. Because, you know what, my it was like my mom had this, this forced fasting program for us. Because, and I'm not talking about the jammer, you know what, Marie Callender pot pies. I mean, those are like shaka-la-kind, bro. I wish Marie Callender was around then. But you know why she bought those Swanson pot pies? Because they were 16 cents a piece back then. Or 13 cents a piece back then. And so that was one of her budgeted meals. And so we'd come home and, you know, kid, you're hungry. You know what? And I was hungry. And you know what? Well, what are we eating today? Oh, we're pot pies. Oh, my God. Pot pies. Really? Really? Are you serious? You know, my mom would cook this round steak. What's a synonym for round snake? Awful meat. Yeah. Tough. And she'd take it, this true story, and she'd have this, you know what? It was so tough, so what you do is you tenderize it. You know what tenderize it meant? It meant you tried to beat the toughness out of it. But most of the time it didn't work. It was this hammer with this, it was like a hammer with these gridded kind of base, and you just hit it and hit it and hit it. And you know what? Not only was it not tender, but it didn't taste very good. So then she'd put lemon on it. It was, I'm telling you, it was awful. Why did I bring that up? Because I don't know what your issue was. Here's what I'm saying. Every single one of us in this room have past issues that Satan tries to throw up in your face. And you know what? And past sins. Stuff, I'm not trying to read anybody's mail. I don't know your mail. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not saying one person. I'm saying everyone, every single one of us in this room have things that we've done that if you knew about it, you would, if somebody knew about it, that you right now, you're embarrassed. And you would never tell everybody because it would just be something that would be embarrassing to you. So what we do is we're trying to accomplish what God wants us to do. And what we do is we are preparing the backpack for us to go on this journey called our destiny. And before we leave, we say, oh, yeah, but what about what I did in junior high? I did a lot of stuff in junior high. And what about what I did in high school? Oh, man. I did a lot of stuff in high school. A lot of wrong stuff. A lot of stuff that I'm ashamed of. And what about college? Oh, I don't even want to start with college. But I have to take these things. They're part of who I am. And what about after junior high? And what about how I've treated my wife? What about how I've let down my kids? And there are sins, and we all know about these sins. And we take these sins and these memories that are very predominant in our mind. And then we try to fulfill what God has called us to fulfill. But the Bible says it's a heavy weight. And the Bible says it easily ensnares us. So where God wants us to walk free, to lay those things aside, to remind ourselves what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, if I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, then it doesn't even make any difference what I did in junior high. It doesn't make any difference what I did in high school. It doesn't make any difference. Here's what I'm telling you, guys. This is critical that we let God be true and every man a liar. Here's why. Because you have destiny in your life that God wants you to fulfill, but you can't fulfill it if your image of you is a sinner. I was raised in a Baptist church. I cannot tell you how many times, and I thank God for my heritage, for my Christian heritage. I thank God. You know what? Y'all know I had a drug problem growing up, right? Yeah, I did. You know what? My parents would drug me to church every Sunday and every Wednesday. But here's the reality. I thank God for their consistency to get me in church. But one of the things that I learned in our Baptist church that was quite frankly wrong, they would say it over and over again. Well, you know, you're just a sinner. Well, you're just a sinner saved by grace. You're just a sinner saved by grace. You're just a sinner saved by grace. Well, figure it out. Because if I was a sinner, you know what? If I'm saved by grace, then I'm not a sinner anymore. Now, the Bible says that I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, if you accepted the blood of Jesus, if the blood of Jesus covers, if you accepted the blood of Jesus, then let me tell you what, the blood of Jesus washes away all your sin. Or somebody say all your sin. All your sin. If the blood of Jesus washes away all your sin, then what are you? You're the righteousness of God. See, we won't, I mean, it's hard for us to say. If you are, here, let me help you out. If you have, no shoes, you're what? You're shoeless. If you have no glasses, you're what? Funny. You're glassesless. Glassless. If you have no sin, you are
sinners.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, see, that freaks people out. And let me tell you why it freaks people out. Because they've been told for so many years, they're just a sinner saved by grace. They're just a sinner saved by grace. Can I tell you why it also freaks you out? Because you know you sinned 3 weeks ago. Watch this. Watch this. This is so good. Guys in the back, you gotta flow with me. Turn to 1 John. And I'll confuse you first, and then I'll tell you the answer, okay? But I want you to think. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. Look what it says. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. All right? Yeah, how many knew that scripture before? Okay, so you know that. Now turn over to 1 John, the same author, chapter 3, and look at verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed remains in him. And he... See, you guys are like... What is... I don't even know what that's saying. I think, look, you don't believe me? Look at your own Bible. Because this is not a misprint. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed, God's seed, remains in him. And he... that's not a capital H, that's a little h. You know what that means? He's talking about you. For he, cannot sin because he has been born of God. So here's my question. What is it? Was John right in when he said, what he said in 1 John, in chapter 1, or was he right when he said in 3 John? How can it be both? How can it be both? Well, simply, all I have to do is go to the last year's Super Bowl and show you how simple this is. If I made this statement, Patriots 3, Falcons 21, Falcons are winning. And then I said, Patriots 9, Falcons 28, Falcons are winning. And then I said, Patriots 34, Falcons 28. Patriots win. Which statement is right? All of them are right. They're simply statements taken on the second quarter, the third quarter, and in overtime. See, John is saying, look, John is simply pointing out something. Let me illustrate something else to you. That's okay. I'll just say it. We think like chapters. So, you know what? Chapter 1, 1977. Chapter 2, 1978. Chapter 3, 1979. Are you catching this? Chapter, maybe for some of us, chapter 1, 2004. Chapter 2, 2005. Chapter 3, you got this? That's how we look at it. We read a book, and we read it, and we're maybe it's a novel, and we're reading, and we're looking at this character, and this character's in trouble, and the villain comes in, and it's like, oh, what's going to happen? And he seems to get out of it, but then in the next chapter, he gets back into it. We're like, oh, he's going to be in trouble again, and then he gets into it worse. Oh, what's going to happen? Hello? God, the Bible says that God knows the beginning from the end. What does that mean? It means that God isn't looking at your life like a book. He's looking at your life, let's pretend this was a book. He takes the pages out and he lays them flat. So where you would see chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, he doesn't see it that way. He sees the beginning from the end. Are you catching this? So that's why John can be right. He looks at you and he says in chapter 1, he says, hey, let's get real. All of us sin. And stop deceiving yourself. Stop messing with yourself. Stop acting like, you know what, listen, I'm just talking the truth. Stop looking at other women inappropriately and then going, no, I was just looking at the cookie shop over there. Because all of a sudden I wanted a cookie. No, really, that's all it was. I was just looking, no. And John's like, hey, dude, knock it off, man. Stop blaming your anger on someone else. I'll tell you what, let me tell you what. You know what, yeah, maybe I got mad, but let me tell you what I got mad. I got mad because you did this. Nobody can make you mad. You choose how you react to someone. There's people who do crazy stuff and people are nice to them all the time. No, you make me so mad. No. You decide to get mad. Amen? And that's what James is saying. He's saying, guys, stop conning yourself. You're sinning and you know what? You know you sin and so fess up to it because you can't fix something till you recognize it's broken. But then over in chapter 3, he's saying, but guys, I've seen the end. I understand how this picture works. Even if you're working through this stuff, When God looks at you, he sees Jesus, who you really are. Listen, who you really are. Why? Because you're in Christ Jesus. Even that statement, he sees Jesus. You know what? I'm telling you what. Some religious person gets on the internet and says, "The pastor's crazy." I'm not crazy. This is the truth that needs to be preached. God, the Bible says, I'll show it to you in a minute. The Bible says, God doesn't even remember your sin. Why doesn't he remember your sin? Because his son took your sin away. It's gone. Amen. Are you learning something today? So please understand, it's critical. If you're going to fulfill what God has called you to fulfill, it's critical that you get rid of this sin consciousness. I'm sorry, I got to get my notes there. We're part of my illustration. So, number one, you have to understand that that this sin consciousness is absolutely going to prevent you from fulfilling your destiny. So you've got to get rid of it. You've got to renew your mind. You've got to let God be true and every man a liar. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, the Bible says, I heard this voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of Christ has come. And the accuser of the brethren who accuses them before our God day and night. That's Satan, and he's constantly accusing you of things that you've done. And it doesn't even make any difference if it's past. He's still accusing you. But look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. Look at this verse. It's so awesome. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. I will be merciful. You know what merciful means? Merciful means that when you deserve something, you don't get it. You deserve something. How many are glad that what you deserve, you ain't going to get? What is grace? Grace is you getting something that you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting something that you do deserve. For I will be merciful to their unrighteous. How many were unrighteous in junior high? How many were unrighteous in high school? How many were unrighteous in college? How many were unrighteous sometime in your life over and over and over? Here's what God says. No, let me tell you what. I'm going to be merciful to those people. I'm going to not give them what they deserve. Why? Because of Jesus Christ, that what they deserved is to be separated from me. But because of Jesus Christ, because they accepted the blood of Jesus Christ, because that cleanses you from all unrighteousness, I'm going to take all that stuff away. And if I take all that stuff away, now what are they going to get? That is mercy. And their sins, watch this, and their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember what? No more. See, listen, what we're doing is crazy. Because God says, I don't even remember your sin. I don't remember what you did in junior high. I don't remember what you did in high school. I choose not to remember it. Because of what Jesus Christ did. Don't let that weight beset you. Cause you to go, no, let me tell you what. You were like that. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. All things have become new. That's who you are. And that's who you need to say who you are. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Look what it says. For the sin of this one man, this is the New Living Translation. I'm reading through the New Living Translation because I loved how they put it. Listen to this. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater, somebody say even greater. Even greater. Even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. his gift of righteousness. When you became born again, that's what you got. You got his gift of right standing before God. His gift of righteousness for all, oh, this is so good, for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Can we go deeper for a minute? Does someone have a sin? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Does someone have a sin that is reoccurring? Don't raise your hand. And you've done it, 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 and you've done it. And when you do it, you feel awful. Watch this. And the gift of righteousness is for all who receive it. It will for all who receive it. You see this, for all who receive it? That means that not everybody receives it. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin. See, I stop saying I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I could turn to Ephesians, I could turn to Colossians, I could turn to Philippians. You know what Philippians is? It's Philippians when you read it in Philadelphia. Some of you laugh when you're going home, but anyway. What was I saying? I didn't even know what Philippians was. Okay, we'll just go back there. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one. Here's what I'm saying. That at some point in time, I had to stop saying, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Because let me tell you what sin, a sin mentality, will cause you to do. Ooh, this is deep. It'll cause you to what? Sin. That's why this message is so critical. Because here's the thing. You don't have to be bound in that sin. Some of you men, and you've been just caught up with lust and caught up with lust and caught up with lust, and you hate it. And you've hated it for a long time. You know it's wrong. You know what? And you just hate it. Here, I've got news for you today. You know what? Stop seeing yourself, you know what, like you have seen yourself before. Just recognize you're not that way. Yeah, but that's what I do all the time. I know. But you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? And I'm not saying that you don't have to do some things. You know, go to our book table and start by purchasing the book, Every Man's Battle. And just recognize, one of the reasons you're so condemned is you think you're the only person who's having that problem. I love the title of the book, Every Man's Battle. I was bound for lust for years. For years. For years. All I'm saying is, one of the breadcrumbs that got me out of my problem with lust was for me to recognize I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, you've got to change your mind. That's why the Bible says you've got to renew your mind to what God says. Let God be true and every man a liar. Yeah, but I'm not there yet. I know you're not there yet. But understand, God has seen the end of the book. He sees you as what you're going to become. So start seeing yourself that way and watch what happens to sin. You're going to start to walk in this life of triumph over sin. That's what's going to happen in your life. Are you learning something today? Number two, second point. Jesus has already paid for your sin. He's already paid for your sin. Hebrews chapter 10, starting with verse 1, And the writer of Hebrews says, look, there was this old thing, this old law, and no matter how many times that they every year they would sacrifice, they would put all their sins on this animal, they would sacrifice the sins of this animal. But here's what it did. It just kept on. You know what? Every year they recognized, well, we're going to have to do this next year. And we're going to have to do this next year. We're going to have to do this next year. But then the Bible says in Hebrews, but, actually, we'll read it real fast. For the law having the shadow of the good things to come, that's Jesus, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which were offered continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. They were sacrificing year after year and year after year. They were still messed up. Next verse. For when they could not have ceased to be offered, for the worshipers, once purified, would have no more consciousness of sin. Watch this, next verse. But in those sacrifices, there was a reminder of sins every year. They had a sin mentality. Why? Because the sacrifice was not sufficient. So every year they knew, we're going to do this next year. Watch this. Next verse. Right there. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away your sin. Why? It's imperfect. It's not the perfect lamb, Jesus. Next verse. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. This is Jesus talking. Next verse. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you had no pleasure. Listen, God had no pleasure in this. You know why? Because after it was done, it would have to be done again and again and again. Here's why. Because it wasn't really taking away their sin. It was just a foreshadow of something to come. But it really wasn't doing anything. Next verse. Oh, yeah, right there. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of a book as it is written of me to do your will, O God. Jesus comes and he says, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Next verse. Previously saying sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings. And offerings of sin you did not desire, nor had in pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Next verse. Then he said, behold, watch. That's what behold means. Look, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he might establish the second. The first being this animal sacrifice, the second being Jesus Christ. By that will we have been sacrificed through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Next verse. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifice, which can never take sin away. Next verse. But this man, who's this man? But Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time waiting till his enemies were made his footstool. Last verse. For by one offering, he has. Oh. You know why I put this stuff on the screen? Because you got to see it. It's so incredibly unbelievable. For by one offering, he has. What's that word? He's perfected. He's perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Now stop right here. Sanctified is this constant work. How many of you, I'm just asking, how many of you are acting better? You're kinder, you're nicer, you're sweeter, you're more forgiving than you were 4 years ago. Somebody raise your hand. What's that called? That's called sanctification. You're being sanctified. But here's the reality. You're already been perfected. You're already been perfected. You know why you're being sanctified? You know why sin bugs you? Because you got God inside you. Stop beating yourself up. Stop pushing yourself down. God doesn't push you down. He lifts you up. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, and I'm reading out of the NIV. I want you to hear it out of the NIV. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Amen. You know what you are? You have been made. We have been made holy. Let's say that together. We have been made holy. Let's say that again. We have been made holy. If you're born again, say, I have been made holy. I have been made holy. I've been made holy. I've been made holy. See, we have to let God be true and every man a liar. We have to stop beating ourselves up. We have to stop allowing the image of who we are here in high school, who we were in high school, to teach us that that's who we are. Now, let me tell you who that was. That's who you were. But that's not who you are. You are holy. You know what? You know what? Anyway, you're awesome. My last point. We need to talk back. When I was little, I could not talk back to my parents. How many were like that? How many were raised? You didn't talk back to your parents. That's how I was raised. You don't talk back to your parents. Okay. But here's what we do. Here's what we do with sin. We've got this mentality. And the mentality is, how many got in trouble when you were kids? Okay. Yes. Thank you. Be honest. Okay. So hands all. Okay. Okay. But and how many knew there was the degrees of trouble? You know what I mean? Degrees of trouble. You know what? I mean, you know what? I could do something. You say like right now, I can't even remember anything I did wrong. Okay. That was a joke right now. Okay, anyway. But here's what I'm saying. If I did something wrong, you know what? Maybe I got this degree of punishment. Maybe I was grounded for a day. Couldn't play for that day. But you know what? If I did something more wrong, you know what? There was a higher degree of penalty for that. And I would be grounded for 3 days. You know what? If I did something really wrong, I'd be grounded for a month. How many understand that? We take that same mentality into our Christianity. And so we live just, you know what? Oh, you know what? Down. I gotta punish myself a little bit. You know what? I did something a little bit wrong. Oh, no. Now I'm really punished. Now I have to really just mope around and oh, God's mad at me. And listen, God's not mad at you. You know why the angels were singing? Glory to God in highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Because they just saw Jesus. They're like, oh, my goodness. When Jesus died on the cross, the separation, the veil was to separate God from this side and man on this side, was ripped from the top to the bottom. God ripped it from the top.
Ripped the whole thing. What's he saying? He's signifying. Guys, I'm not mad. There's no issue. There's no issue. There's no sin issue anymore.
I wasn't even mad at you before. I just had a sin problem that we had to take care of. We took care of it by Jesus Christ. But we have this thing where like, you know what? Oh, and we still are on that penalty. Jesus already paid the price. But we have to talk back. We have to, listen, we have to renew our mind to who we are. We have to start, yeah, I know I did that, but Christ died for me. Yeah, I know I did that, but you know what? But his blood cleanses me from all unrighteousness. Yeah, I know I did that. And listen, you know what's a good time to say that to Satan? The same time he's telling you. You know, Satan is such a sucker. He'll say, come on, smoke this, drink this, sleep with this person. You know what I mean? Say this. Oh, say it. It's on your mind. Get it off your mind. Get it off your chest. Come on, say it. Cuss him out. Give them a piece of your mind. You know, you don't have to take that. And then when you do that, see, he's baiting you. And then when you do that, then what does he turn around? Man, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have smoked that. You shouldn't have drank that. Oh, you slept with her. Oh, you doesn't say dog. He says dog. It'll help clean out your saliva gland. Huh? You dirty dog, you. That's what he does. I did it again. That's what he does. You know what? No. Let me tell you what. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you need to start speaking back. You need to start recognizing. Listen, there's so much power in your tongue. There's so much. The Bible says life and death is the power of your tongue. You need to start seeing you who God sees you as. You need to start speaking back. Look at a scripture that you know. You know what? A scripture that you're so familiar with. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I mean, know that passage. Let me show you this verse. It's so powerful when you look at the totality of what it says. Isaiah chapter 54. Look what it says. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Can somebody say amen to this? Amen. But watch this. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment. Watch this. You shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Go back. See, your inheritance is that nobody should talk jive about you. Listen, my mama was interesting. She's still alive. She is interesting. But when I was growing up, my dad didn't whoop me. My mom whooped me. And my mom could give me a whooping. And would do it. And you know what? She used to say, you know what, Drew, this hurts me more than it does you. I thought, lady, I don't believe that. You know what? But that's what she used to say. This is going to hurt me more than it does you. And she could whoop me. But I'm telling you, I should have played it again because I love that clip. But you better not put your hands on me or my brother or my sisters. Do you understand that? Listen, God can deal with you and God can deal with your sin. And God can correct you and God can correct you. And God will correct you. And the Bible says, when we sin, come boldly to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy in a time of need. But let me tell you what. No one else has the right to speak trash about you. And when they do, you need to say something. You need to speak back. When Satan starts telling you about how bad you are and how sinful you are. Listen, he is not your father. He has no business chastising you. He has no business doing that to you. And you've got to stand up and say, no, no, no. I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And yeah, maybe God's working through me. Maybe God's working on me. Maybe there's this process. But let me tell you what. The reality is that God sees me like he sees Jesus. And that's who I am. Can you say amen to this? Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. Lamentations chapter 3, 24. Through the Lord, mercies are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Watch this. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. God is so faithful. And you know what he's faithful to do? Give you mercy. Somebody say every morning. Five times, say every morning. Every morning, every morning, every morning, every morning, every morning. Every single morning, his mercy. What's his mercy? Every morning. Yeah, but look what you did yesterday. Yeah, but God says this morning, guess what? You're not going to get what you deserve. You're not going to get what you deserve. You're not going to get what you deserve. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ. Every time Satan comes to you and starts chastising you and putting you down and talking about how awful you are and what you've done, you need to remind him of what Christ did. Because let me tell you what, every single one of us, what we have done doesn't match what he did. There's no super sinner. Ooh, no, I'm superhero. I'm the superhero. I got to ask, I'm super sinner. Able to sin. My sin is more powerful than anything. It is not. You've been lied to. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unrighteousness. There's no super sinner. God laughs at our sin compared to the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what I did. But Pastor, you have no idea what I did. But Pastor, I had an abortion. Listen. But Pastor, I got someone pregnant. And she wanted to keep the baby. But I insisted. I manipulated her to get an abortion. I killed the child, Pastor. Pastor, I don't only kill the child, I killed my own child. What do you got to say that, Pastor? I'll say what God says. Amen. I'm sorry. I don't remember that happening.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God.
You know what that's called? It's called a wonder. See, because you and I sit there and think, how in the world could that happen? Can I tell you what? Here's what the Bible says. That love never fails. I can't give you all the detail. There's things that are supernatural that I cannot even explain. But I'm telling you what, let God be true and every man a liar. You know what? Have you got so drunk that you, I'm not looking for hands, have you got so drunk that you didn't even know? You know what? And you woke up in someone else's bed? I mean, why wouldn't you? All your friends were doing it. All the society says, you know, and society says that's, you know what, hey, you've gone out in 4 dates with him. Of course you can sleep with him. No big deal. And Satan just wants to condemn you every day for something that you did 10 years ago, something you did 20 years ago, something that you did 4 weeks ago. Can I tell you what? 4 weeks were 4 weeks ago. And when you go to God and you say, God, what about this? He just says, I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry, I just don't remember it. I won't remember it. You know why? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about me. Every morning, stuff that you did yesterday and the day before and day, every morning, here's where I'm at. I'm going to forget it. I'm going to forgive you, and I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to forget it. Amen. And that's how my mercy is. It's everywhere. Who's going to talk back? You're going to talk back. Why? Because you just heard, you know what, 45 minutes worth of preaching of who you are. Amen? The Bible says my feet are beautiful. Amen? Amen? My wife has noticed I have callus on my feet because sometimes I walk around barefooted, but now my feet. You want me to see my feet? They are beautiful. Amen. My wife says no, my feet are beautiful. My wife says nothing. Well, I'm telling you, my feet are be. Why? Because the Bible, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen? Let God be true and every man. Here's why. Because I'm telling you some good news. Guys, stop beating yourself up. Stop criticizing yourself. Stop agreeing with Satan. Just say what God says. Every morning he says, man, I love you. Yeah, I know you did that. You know what the Bible, here, I'll quote one more scripture to you. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that God is molding you into the image, we'll look at it second service, into the image of his son. Now, this is totally, you know what, people just, well, you know, religious people will freak out on this. But God is saying, I'm helping you, and every day I'm molding you into the image of my son. And you put that in your purse and swing it. And you start telling, starts anyone, you, nope. His mercy is new every morning. Amen. Did you learn something today? Let God be true. Let God be true and every man a liar.
What you got here?
That's my.
Got your bag of tricks.
Easily besets us.
Yes. Yes. We need to. At the end of the day, it's all about Jesus, isn't it? It's all about him, what he did, his blood. We need to not negate the power of that blood in letting shame cause us to act as if it's not powerful and effective, that it doesn't have a purpose. And that's really the enemy trying to shame us with that. And then I think we shame ourselves sometimes when we allow our shortcomings to negate the blood of Jesus that says that we walk in his righteousness. We need to, it's all about the blood, isn't it? It's all about the blood. It's all about Jesus. And if we would just grasp that one truth, that we don't allow our shortcomings to frame our mind of who we are, that we don't allow our shortcomings to define who we are. God says who we are. He tells us who we are. I'm going with God. Amen. Isn't that the series, actually? Let God be true and every man a liar, including me when I say I am unworthy, including me when I say I can't, including me when I say I'm not able to. Let me be a liar. Stop doing that. Amen? Let God be true and every man a liar, including me. If I'm not saying what God says, walking in who God says that I am, reminding myself, and we need to remind ourselves, that the blood of Jesus is powerful. That not only does God not remember it, but God has equipped me for victory through that blood, that I am an overcomer, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that I am being sanctified, that I'm in this process to being molded just like Jesus. Amen? It's good. If we'll just let it be good, it is good. It is powerful, but we have a part, and that is that we believe what God says, and then we begin to walk it out. Amen? Amen. Amen.